بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was moving with a huge jamaat of Sahaba Ikram, passing through Sham, and they had overheard that there was a plague that had broke out. So he consulted the Sahaba Ikram as to what has to be done. Because this was a major plague and thousands of people had already been shaheed in this plague. People like Sa'd ibn Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. He was also affected and sometimes later he had passed away. So several Sahaba, approximately they count 10,000 Sahaba Ikram that were affected in this plague. He called in the Muhajireen first and inquired their suggestions. So they had mixed suggestions. Some said that don't expose them to this danger. And others replied that you have come for a mission, then accomplish the mission. Umar radiallahu anhu wasn't satisfied and he asked them to leave. Then he called in the Ansar. Ansar also had mixed suggestions. Don't expose them to danger. And the other, that you have come to complete and accomplish a mission, accomplish the mission and then leave. But Umar radiallahu anhu asked them to leave as well. And then he called in those Muhajireen that had accepted Islam around the time of Fatah. So they were not those Sabiqeen al-Awwaleen, but they also had shared the same aspect of making Hijrat. So we inquired from them. So they had one single answer. And their answer was, don't expose these people to any danger. They are the cream of your people, ulama, learned. And to replace them is not an easy thing, so don't expose them to danger. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had accepted this suggestion. In the meanwhile, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu was then the leader of Sham and Syria, the old governor of Sham and Syria. He objected and he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, atafirru min qadrillah? Are you escaping the taqdeer? Are you running away from taqdeer? So Umar radiallahu anhu answered him in these words, Lo ghayraka qalaha. If someone else had mentioned this type of statement, it would have been better. I don't expect a person like you to give an answer of this nature. You understand, at a mashwara, each person says what he feels is best. You don't lobby before the mashwara. I will say this and you say this and we'll connive on some plan prior to the mashwara, then that's not a mashwara. And similarly, you will say your bit. Whatever you need to say, you will say. What you feel between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right, you will mention that. Then you also understand that there is a priority given to those people that are more learned and more educated, more experienced. Right. When Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah had made this suggestion, Umar radiallahu anhu wasn't happy with this. And he says, Lo ghayraka qalaha. If someone else had mentioned this, not yourself. So he needed correction, he corrected him. What he wanted to say, he mentioned. But where Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah needed to be corrected, so Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had corrected him. Because this correction, this suggestion that he had made was quite serious. What it implies? It implies that those that are suggesting that must move away, they all do not believe in taqdeer. And taqdeer is an element of faith. So therefore, we had to correct him, because it's alluding to something that is serious and something dangerous. أَتَفِرُّ مِنْ قَدْرِ اللَّهِ. Are you running away from taqdeer? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala had to correct him. So Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah didn't consider it as something personal. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala saw the need to correct him at that spot and at that moment. Where he needed a correction, he needs to be corrected. So our senior corrects us, whether it is in the presence of people or whether in privacy, then we need to accept the correction. But if the mistake is committed in the open, then the correction also is done in the open. Anyway, the vast majority of the Sahaba-i-Kiram had then agreed that we shouldn't be going. So you also understand that Umar radiallahu anhu agreed to take a decision based on the majority. Now there are verses of the Quran Sharif that say, وَإِن تُطِئْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُذِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you follow the majority, then they will mislead you. أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most people don't have understanding, right? So that's on the one end, that's what the Quran Sharif says, that you follow the majority, then they will drive you away from Allah Ta'ala, and most people don't have that understanding. قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلُوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. That filth and purity can't be equal, can't be the same. Even though the abundance of filth may astonish you, وَلُوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ, but both cannot be the same, both cannot be identical. And this verse had come down at a time when Sahabi, he came with a huge, huge amount of wealth accumulated with the sales of liquor, whatever it was. But he came. Now imagine, these people were so hooked onto liquor that they had over 360 varieties of liquor. So the Arabs, you can imagine now how they were drinking. Wasn't the French. They drink like fish, but these guys are even worse. 360 varieties of. And for each one they had a different name. Rahik and what other names they had for wines. Now he's come with such wealth, and he says, Ya Rasulallah, I've accumulated this type of wealth, and this is where I've acquired it from. What do I do with it? Can I spend it in the path of Allah Ta'ala? Rasulullah explained to him, see, if you take all this wealth and you spend it in jihad, or you spend it in Hajj, then this will not be even equivalent to the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ. Allah Ta'ala is absolutely pure. He'll only accept that which is pure. This abundance doesn't mean anything to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Where people feel that abundance, hey, you know, so much, so much. And this bank has got so much. And then our eyes begin to pop out. So this abundance really doesn't mean anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is that quality that really matters by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the quality of that wealth? Sometimes we go off, when we see abundance, then we try and legalize some way forward. So this is not the way that a Muslim is supposed to be thinking. Overall, this is majority we are talking, majority and minority. And in Islam, we don't make this the basis of our decision, majority and minority. If you look in the world, then there are majority kafirs, right? In the Muslims, you find majority not practicing. Look at any town, right? Fajr time, majority of the Muslims are in the masjid or out of the masjid. Isha time, any time, any masjid. So majority, are they committed to Islam or majority aren't committed to Islam? You'll find majority aren't committed to Islam. So if you had to take a decision based on the majority, then they would have, the masjids would not have the need to perform Isha namaz or Fajr namaz, because majority aren't coming. So do you base the decision on a majority? Then you look into the world and you see majority are understanding, mature in their thinking, or they are overgrown babies. What is it? People are many times very well grown person, nice beard, etc. But when you reason with him, he's got no reasoning. There's no reasoning, there's no understanding. He's just overgrown. Right? So, now, when you see this type of people, right, then do you base your decision on that? No, you don't base your decision on that. You base the decision on understanding, on reasoning, pure, good, sound understanding and reasoning. You don't base the reasoning on the abundance of wealth. Now, some influential person comes, so we get affected by his influence. Some affluent person comes, then we get affected by his affluence. Our responses are different. This person, our response is different to him, towards him. And this person, our response is different towards him. So really, what has happened? We got consumed by his wealth. See, wealth in itself, come back to this topic inshallah, wealth in itself has got an intoxication. As Jumma Yusuf Rahmatullah used to say, sharab ka nasha to subah tak utar jata hai, lekin maal ka nasha to kabhi utarta nahi. The one that had consumed wine, by the morning he'll be sober. But wealth, the intoxication of wealth doesn't leave. It remains, it's perpetual. You're all the time under the influence. That influence doesn't leave you. It's there and it's there with you all the time. So many a times we need to see within ourselves that what is it that's talking? Is it the wealth that's talking or is it our brains that are talking? And the one that is listening, is he listening consumed because of him being consumed with his wealth, or is he being consumed because of what he said, the right and the just word that he mentioned? So what's affecting you, what's influencing you? So this is supposed to be the decision, this is supposed to be the deciding factor. All that is by the way. In the hadith, Rasulullah explained one sahabi, or explained to some sahaba kiram, Al-kayyisu man dala nafsahu, wa radiya bil kafaf, wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. Who is that intelligent person? The intelligent person is who takes stock of himself. He takes stock of himself. In business, you'll say that person is intelligent who takes stock of himself, isn't it? He takes stock of his business, what's going on, what's coming in, what's being sold, what is redundant, where am I sourcing stuff from, am I pricing it rightly, is my location right, is the clientele satisfied with the type of service that I'm providing and the product that I'm giving them. So you take stock of yourself. When you take stock of yourself, then Allah Ta'ala guides you. So we know this in business, we know it. But more than understanding in business, we need to understand the same principle in deen. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu. He takes stock of himself. Where's the weak points? Where's the loose points? Where did I slip? At this point here, I must use my eyes. One Buzurg Azaji Rahmatullah mentioned. One Buzurg mistakenly, he was pressed to urinate. So he urinated and he used someone's wall or something to dry himself. See, to dry himself, he used someone's wall. Or he urinated against the wall, one of the two had happened. Later on, he discovered that I have usurped this person's right. He went and asked him for a maaf that I did this and acted incorrectly. I was not supposed to urinate at this point here. Because I'm going to urinate at this point here, maybe you will not like it. It's your wall. And if 50 people begin to do the same thing, obviously it's going to make it a stinking spot. So it was wrong for me to use this spot for urinating or cleaning myself. Anyway, that was maafed and everything was forgotten. Azizi Rahmatullah used to say thereafter that this Buzurg, if he had ever walked past that wall, he would go through a shiver. That this was the place where I had faltered. This was the place that I had faltered. That istihzar, that consciousness, you see. What is happening today is we are going through an abundance of literature. They say filorota, not a big words they use, but abundance of it we are using. A lot of literature, information here, there, all that. But how much of it are we digesting? the food that we take, right? The thing that really counts is what amount of that food converts into energy. Right? The rest of it is fat or is waste, right? But what really counts is what amount transforms into energy. So exactly the same, that information that we take, how much of it transforms into practice? It goes into our mind, it sinks into our heart, it converts into actions. Now this is what is required. So when we have faulted, then after making that mistake, then how many times does it happen to us that we have a shiver when, yeah, here, you know, I hear that ghibat here. And here, in this mall, when I went into this mall, then I got interested in one girl, you know. Although I didn't talk to her, but I really got interested and I got affected for some time. You know, I was explaining one youngster, 19, 20 years of age. So he had some evil thoughts running through his mind. A lot of evil thoughts and not pleasant dreams and whatever else. Youngsters get affected, the evil, very evil thoughts, my namaz and all that. All these things are happening to me all the time. So I told him, you know what? What you do, forget these thoughts here, because these thoughts will not affect your iman in any way. But you do one thing I ask you to do, is leave out doubtful wealth, doubtful people, and doubtful areas. Whether it is doubtful wealth, it is doubtful people, or doubtful areas, to the best of your ability, you leave these things out, and you will see all these evil thoughts also leave you. Alhamdulillah, with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, in a few weeks, he left all that out, the effect of all that was out of his system, and now there is a motivation towards doing good. Good thoughts are coming, good ideas are coming into his mind. Before, where he says that I was getting filthy, filthy thoughts, you know, most filthiest things. I never expect these type of thoughts to run through my mind. And I was getting these things coming through my mind. I left these things that were doubtful. Alhamdulillah, all that has flushed out of my system. So these things do have an effect on you. They have a bearing on you. Are you thinking, hey, where these thoughts are coming from? So either it's doubtful wealth, it's doubtful areas, whether it's books, magazines, whatever else, or places that you're going to, or doubtful types of people. When two people sit and they discuss, must remember that that disgust, that sitting is not free of one person stealing from the other. I'm taking something from you, you are taking something from me. My mind, the thoughts that are in my mind are flowing into your mind, and what's in your mind is flowing into my mind. Something or the other is going across. We think there's nothing happening. What's wrong in talking? What's wrong in discussion? You know, healthy criticism is very good. So all these type of, they are big words. They're meant for great people. Imam Bukhari and all, if they made healthy criticism, then they knew the limits. But you will exceed the limits one way or the other. You won't know where your limits are. So you just allow your senior to criticize you, don't allow the world to criticize you. You allow the world to criticize you, tomorrow your one friend will say, hey, but you're very anti-sociable. So when you heard that you're very anti-sociable, now very big word now. So he said, what is the meaning of anti-sociable? Now must meet up with everybody. So he saw one girl, assalamu alaikum, how are you? You see, you're going to allow anybody and everybody to criticize you, then there's no limits. You're antisocial, no, must go to weddings and all that. So there's mixed gathering, everybody's dancing, and whatever else is happening, everything is fine. No, why? That you may not be called antisociable. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah was explaining this, you see. See, the brain has gone very weak. Really, when I see the brain today, it's very weak. There may be abundance of information, but see that information has to be digested. That half of information is dangerous. It's very dangerous. Half of information is very dangerous. Like they say, Neem Mullah Khatra Iman. Neem Hakim Khatra Jan. He's a half a doctor. He either says that I'm half a doctor, right? He must admit within himself and tell others that I'm half a doctor. I'm not a professional doctor. So he'll know his limits. He mustn't pretend to be a full doctor. Say, for example, now he's half a doctor and he pretends to be a full doctor and he is administering penicillin for someone. And that person, he dies. He goes into a coma because of some type of an allergy or a reaction. Now he doesn't know what to do. He's shivering. I only heard part of the story that penicillin injection is very good. But the reaction that goes with it, people that are allergic, you know, he hasn't qualified. He isn't a proper doctor. So he went to experiment. When he went to experiment, he caused more danger and harm. So if you're half a doctor, then you say you're half a doctor, you're not a complete doctor. Otherwise, you can be a potential danger to a patient. Similarly, if you are an alim, you've got some ilm, you've got some knowledge, but you are half, you're not full, then you say, I'm half. I'm not full. I only got this information. I don't have the full information. For example, the Quran Sharif says, لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. In the state of intoxication, don't perform namaz. So now, I came across this verse, I'm half an alim. When I'm half an alim, now I'm saying that you don't perform namaz in the state of intoxication. That means the Quran is endorsing the drinking of intoxicants. So you can drink it, only thing, namaz time mustn't drink it. See that you don't take it namaz time so that you sober in the state of namaz. So half a ilm, you don't have the complete knowledge. When you don't have the complete knowledge, then you're going to mislead someone. You're going to be a potential danger to this person's iman. Like this person was potential danger to his life, this person is a potential danger to his iman. Both are dangerous. So either you don't practice at all, or if you're practicing, then you say yourself that I'm half, I'm not complete. And let others also know that I'm half, I'm not complete. So that they can verify the fact. So, you know, I told you I'm half, I only know half the fact. I don't have the full facts before me. So you tell the person I don't have the full facts, and I'm just half, I'm not fully qualified. So I was getting at Mufsal Hamza, it said, that sometimes we pretend, you see, we pretend we're not real, but we pretend to be what we aren't. One Qazi Sahab, you know, in the old days, at Qazi Sahabs and all that, so he came across one kitab, how you make out a person, you see. So it says, if you're short and your beard is too long, then it's an indication of bewakufi, it's an indication of stupidity, you see. So he checked himself, hey, I'm short, and beard is quite long. Hey, now how must I get this out of me? So now, looking for a scissor, he can't find a scissor. So he saw a lamp burning. So he put his beard under the lamp. And that the whole thing burnt out. Nearly get his face. So, hey, no, what they said is right. So you don't pretend to be what you aren't. What you aren't, you don't pretend to be. If you are naturally something, then you pretend just be what you are. Don't go beyond the limit. You go beyond the limit, you're going to hurt someone, or you're going to hurt yourself. So the hadith is saying, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu, the one that takes stock of himself. Regularly, you take stock of yourself. Really, I haven't found anything as comprehensive as the nasihat of Rasulullah SAW, but it must be taken to heart. Last week, one youngster, engineer by trade, so his mother asked me to advise him. He was getting through somewhat of a difficulty, so he came at a time, very awkward time, very, very awkward time, just about 15 minutes before the Sunday majlis, so he came around. But now his mother's insistence that I must advise him, I'm just going to turn him away, then it won't look nice. His mother will be upset about the whole thing. So I explained to him, see, more or less I got to know how much he's earning, all right? Now, nowadays, engineer, etc., is in the business for a couple of years, 25,000-30,000 is normal, right? So, but then they look at people at their own professions, in their professions. Now, someone is getting 45, 50, whatever. So now, that race is on all the time. That race is on, and that race never stops. Oh, he's getting 40. What's wrong in me? What's short in me that I don't have it? What are you supposed to be thinking? It's, what am I short of? Not what is short in me that I can't get what he can get. Yeah, what? I'm not short of anything. So that's how you're supposed to be thinking. But he reversed the whole thinking around. What's short in me? So the hadith is saying, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsu. Another hadith says that the sign of prosperity of this ummah, the sign of the prosperity of this ummah is two things. One is moderation. You know, in everything they are moderate. In the wealth they are moderate. In the love with people they are moderate. In the interaction and socializing, they are moderate. With friends and everybody, they are moderate. So when there is moderation, then this person will be a well-balanced person. And I have to explain to him, but see now how perfect this hadith is and how comprehensive this hadith is. If a person doesn't have moderation in his temperament, then what problems is he going to cause? See, he's going beyond the limit in accumulating wealth. So either he's going to hurt the next person, because in order to gain that extra, he has to push someone or he has to hurt someone, he has to squeeze someone to get that extra. He's squeezing the next person or he's pushing the next person just to get that extra buck. So either you're going to hurt the next person in the pursuit of extra wealth, you're going to hurt the third person, or you're going to hurt your house people. The house is going to be hurt. Because in the pursuit of extra wealth, there's going to be a frustration that's going to be building up. Hey, I need to hit that mark. The projection was 1 million. I'm still 500,000. And I only got 3 months left. I must make the mark. I must see that I get that mark. So yeah, let's hope I'll make it, 600. And now it's only half a month left. And how am I going to make it? So the frustration is building up. It's building up. It's adding. It's all accumulating. When it's accumulating, and you don't have the heart to go and say anything to your junior, then someone in the house is going to catch it. Because it's building up. That frustration is building up. And people that don't deserve it, they're going to catch it. The wife is on the way. The child is on the way. Someone is on the way. He's going to get it. Why is he getting it? He doesn't know why he's getting it. Or he's getting more than what he deserves. It was a small mistake. And you boom bang that person. Why? Because of this frustration that was built up. Why? Because you left the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You live with moderation. Live with moderation. Don't go beyond the point of moderation. Moderation, well, are my needs being fulfilled? Are my needs being fulfilled? That's the way a Muslim needs to be seeing life, that are my needs being fulfilled? So you're living with moderation. You're living with moderation, you're not scared, you're not stressing yourself, okay, what's going to happen for the next day? Why are you living in moderation? You're living in moderation, you have got sufficient for yourself, and you have got sufficient for the future. So you aren't really pressed and squeezed. Why are you living with moderation? Okay. So either you hurt the third person, you hurt your house, or if you're not hurting the third person, you're not hurting your house, you're going to definitely hurt yourself. Because you're stressing now, hey, I need to hit that mark, I need to see that mark. I don't see that mark. I don't conform to the projection we had made. Now you're going to hurt someone. Someone or the other in this whole process is going to get hurt. If you're not going to hurt anybody else, then you're going to hurt yourself. So, does the third person need that injury? Does he deserve to be hurt? Do your house people need to be hurt? Do you need to be hurt like this? Now when you're going to hurt yourself, then you're going to be doing injustice to yourself as well. Because when you're doing injustice to yourself, all your fikr and your concern is, I must get that target. This projection that we made, then I need to get it. Now, on account of the projection that you made, now tell me, is your namaz going to be right? Your namaz is going to be, hey, I need to hit that mark. I need to get that mark. Allah Ta'ala, make it happen. Make that happen. We're supposed to be saying, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Your whole mind and your whole focus is on the target that you made for yourself. Why you made that target? The target, because you had to make a projection. And in the projection, you had to go above the level of moderation. When you went above the level of moderation, now you hurt yourself. Your namaz is affected. Your zikr and your remembrance of Allah is being affected. Your recitation of the Quran is being affected. So you have definitely done an injustice to yourself. You know, when you say injustice to yourself, I tell you, when there is justice and when there is fair play, then there is pleasure, there is enjoyment, then there's cheer in that wealth. But if there's any injustice, let me tell you, there's no enjoyment in that wealth. And a simple illustration to explain this is, just shout your wife 5 minutes before meal, shout her, only for 1 minute, shout her, and then sit on the table and eat with her. Will you enjoy that meal? Will that meal be enjoyable? That enjoyment is gone or finished. Just 1 minute you had shouted her, you had been unjust, right, towards her, just for that 1 minute. Now you sit on the table, she's cooked everything, all the type of food that you really, really relished and you looked forward to. And now will you enjoy that? You will never, that enjoyment is gone. You see that 1 minute of injustice, it's destroyed the happiness of that meal. On the contrary, if you were lived in moderation, you had no stress, you didn't shout anybody. If she had cooked that mug and masoor, but you saw the smile in the face, she saw the smile on your face, you are giving a muluk mount into her mouth. And old people, I think they're beyond that age. But young people now, you're getting sawab still for it. You're still getting sawab for it. I don't say the old can't do that. They can also do it. They can also do it. Why must they get deprived of the sawab? Why must they get deprived? But what I'm saying is that simple food, but there was justice, there was fair play, you showed that compassion and love. Even if you say she said something, and you said, no, you just forgot it. In the spirit of compassion and love, you just forgot it. Now you have that meal. Isn't there enjoyment in that food? There's enjoyment, there's relish, there's real nourishment in that food. Otherwise, you're eating it as though you're just pushing in cotton wool inside your mouth. You know, really, it's just like you're pushing in cotton wool. There's no taste. The taste is gone. Just that 1 minute of injustice and see what it has caused. So this is haram. This is mushtaba. You know, that wealth that is earned from doubtful sources, this is the end. This is the consequence. This is the result. You can't say it doesn't come with that consequence. It'll definitely come with a consequence. You will get the abundance, but that enjoyment, that relish, that satisfaction will definitely be wiped out. Anyway, coming to the hadith, وَرَضِيَ بِالْكَفَافِ. He's just happy. He's happy with the less that he's got. With the little that he's got, وَرَضِيَ بِالْكَفَافِ. With the little that he's got, he's quite sufficient. He's quite happy with it. He is not complaining, oh, I got so little and my neighbor's got this. He's got a bra on and I still got mug and masuria. When am I going to have that bra? He's not complaining in his heart. He said, no, alhamdulillah, I've got so much. What about those people that are living in the shacks? What have they got? Alhamdulillah, I've got a roof on my head. These people are in the cold. What they may be doing? They don't have anything. Alhamdulillah, I've got all these things here. So he is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again. So the little that he's got, but he's happy with it. وَرَضِيَ بِالْكَفَافِ. Rasulullah, when he speaks about the very essence of life, the very essence, he's got right through the essence. Right to the center is gone. He's gone right to the root. And he's pulling out the root, the essence from the root, and he's giving it to us. But go with my formula. Don't question it, but go with my formula, and you will see after some time, you will see the goodness in it. وَرَضِيَ بِالْكَفَافِ. So this رَضِيَ بِالْكَفَافِ, being pleased with moderation, and being pleased with just little what you have got, how can you acquire it? Amir Ali Ma Ba'd al-Maut, when you practice, and your whole focus is Maut and Akhirat. If your whole focus is Akhirat, then you will know moderation. But if you have forgotten the concept of Akhirat, the yaqeen of the hereafter, the concept of continuity is not in your life. Right? So it's just this life and this life and nothing more but this life here. So you forget Akhirat. When you forget Akhirat, then you can't afford to have moderation in you. Because this life becomes the goal. When this becomes the goal, then more and more and more. The deeper I go, the more I want. You know, really, if you look at this life, right, no matter what you have got, but it can't give you full satisfaction, no matter what it is. But a mu'min who's got an iota of iman in his heart, then I can't believe that he will take full satisfaction of anything of this world. And the analogy behind it is, if you know that you're going to die in 2 months, will you be able to satisfy yourself with any comfort? So that mu'min, he's got that yaqeen of the akhirat. He's got the understanding of the akhirat. He's got that understanding that I have to leave. Sooner or later, I have to leave. There is a thing like akhirat. There is a thing like accountability. There is a thing like reckoning. There is a thing like standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that comes before him, then all that enjoyment that is before him, then it is smashed down. It is at least sliced into half. He doesn't get the full satisfaction. He can't. It's impossible for him to get full satisfaction in this life. He'll get, but not the full. Because everything is suspended. Unless now that person has gone to such levels of yaqeen and such levels of the muhabbat and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as though Jannat and Jahannam are before him. Then he will get that satisfaction, because he's here physically, spiritually he's elsewhere. Physically he's with us, but spiritually he's gone elsewhere, so he will enjoy that, because his spirit is not with us, his spirit is gone somewhere else. So anyway, what we are getting at, we're talking about Umar radiallahu anhu, and we branched off this mashwara and all that. Umar radiallahu anhu corrected Hadith Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And you know, when we study hadith, etc., the greater thing and the more important thing is to try and comprehend, to try and understand completely. Instead of doing an abundance, you know, in the madrasa now it's a syllabus, you have to complete it, can't help it. But other than the madrasa, we take one hadith and try and comprehend it. Like I said, I spoke about, you know, live with moderation, And the explanation that I gave, that you will hurt someone, you will hurt the third person, you will hurt your family, you will hurt yourself. Now, I'm sure this type of explanation could not have come into your mind. And if this explanation did not come in your mind, you wouldn't have appreciated these words of Rasulullah SAW. Now that this has come out, it's opened out, now do you appreciate it? Now the appreciation comes in because you understood the hadith in perspective. Before that, you couldn't understand it in perspective. Similarly, وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمُوتِ. Could you understand it properly? So you can only have the moderation if your focus is in the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Bani Israel. And then he ends the verse up, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَهُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ وَهُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. So there is one party and one group that has rejected the truth outright. They've gone out complete. But there is another group, those who believe in the akhirat. They believe in Rasulullah SAW, they believe in all what they need to believe. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَهُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. They believe. And they are constantly guarding their salah. So look at this hadith, وَأَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. And look at this verse of the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. What is the common factor? The common factor is both these people's focus is the akhirat. So you can only have the balance in you, the moderation can only come in proportion to the consciousness and the awareness of the hereafter. The focus of the hereafter is there, everything will just balance out, everything will come right. And if that focus of the akhirat is not in you, then nothing can come right. Because you don't have the consciousness, you don't have that fikr, that concern, that I have to give an answerability, I have to give an account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not there. Let me just do it, forget it afterwards. So you forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that moment, you forgot the concept of accountability, and you went with the tide, you moved with the flow. So this belief in the akhirat is such an important thing, it's like the nucleus of your deen. In proportion to what faith you've got, in proportion to the conviction of this faith, you will see everything else coming up in your deen. Everything is just balancing out. Everything is just coming up right. While you have got that concern about the akhirat. Feel that, well, this, whatever happened has happened, but at least my akhirat is not affected. Whatever has happened today, I've eaten masoor, whatever, but at least my akhirat is not affected. I haven't hurt someone. You know, you have these stories about the wealthy and the poor, and one is running down the other, you know, all the time, you see. So this two people, the Kabristan, and the wealthy, he's running down the poor. Hey, see your father's Kabr. Your father's Kabr, no, naam nishan bhi nahi hai. There's no sign, nothing left of your father here. And see my father's Kabr. Hey, see what tombstones, and see the flowers, and whatever else. Just look at this. Look at my father's and look at your father's. So now, غریب بھی کہا خاموش رہنے والا ہے. See, it's a world of diplomacy, what they say. My diplomatic rights. Huh? Everybody wants to talk free. So the غریب also doesn't want to keep quiet. He says, but you forgot the point. You forgot the point. You see, when Israfil alayhi salam will blow the trumpet, you know, on the day of Qiyamah, then my father, he'll just make one stroke, he'll just dust off the sand from his hand, and he'll be, Allah Ta'ala in Jannat already. Your father will be still struggling, the tombstones, everything what he said. He has to pull out all the tombstones, everything. Eventually he'll come out of the cover, and then he'll have to come. He'll be still struggling out there. So these people always have, they're locked up in a battle, the poor and the rich. The right way is not to fight with the poor, not to fight with the rich. You don't grudge him for his wealth, and you don't despise him for his poverty. Maybe his intentions are good, this idea. And maybe it was the better thing for you to remain poor. Because if you had wealth, perhaps you would not have known how to conduct yourself in that wealth. So you don't despise him for his wealth, nor you run him down, nor do you grudge him for his wealth. Both ways. Both ways. Islam has covered both. So this wealthy and the poor, their stories carry on. They carry on. One is trying to run down the other, you see. Both are in Hajj, and the wealthy tells the poor, you know, I told you, bhai, the Hajj is only for wealthy people. You got sahuk, you got the tickets, you got everything, all rights, all sorted out. Then you have a comfortable Hajj. But now see how you're battling, how you're struggling. Pillar to post, going this side, that side, not getting your things right here. Didn't I tell you, this is for something, some person wealthy. So the poor says, bhai, you've forgotten the point, you know what? You see, when there is a wedding, when there is a nikah, when there is a walima, then the intizam and the preparation arrangements is made for all the outsiders. You know, all the outsiders, we see that they all fed well and they go away. Hum toh ghar wale. See what he said. What a big claim. Hum toh ghar ke wale. Ghar ke log. The ghar ke log, they eat afterwards, all the scraps and whatever. Ghar ke log. But the fact that main toh ghar ka aadmi hun, what a great thing. Main khuda ke ghar ka aadmi hun. What a great thing. You are an outsider. You just came, you did your thing and you went away. Main toh ghar ka aadmi hun. What a great thing. It's a privilege, isn't it? So, the way to get this is to have a love for the poor. Not to despise him, but the poor mustn't grudge the wealthy. Both ways, both is extremism and both is wrong. So we were getting at this hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, and all these points are just coming up in my mind. So, Umar radiallahu anhu then went on to explain Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. Say if you got a flock of goats to graze, you take them to the pastures, and you find these two hills, you know. One is green and very lush and green, and the one is totally dried out. Then where will you graze your flock? You will graze the one that is on the green, the lush, or the one that is totally dried out. So he says, obviously I'll take my goats to graze in the one that is green and lush. So isn't this running away from takdir then? If Allah Ta'ala is feeding, right? Then why you went on this one here? Allah Ta'ala will feed, whether it's going on this end or on that end, it is Allah Ta'ala that is. So you understand that you do adopt your means in this world here. You don't forget the procedures. Allah Ta'ala has created certain procedures, certain means, certain processes to follow. So you don't bypass that. You follow those. You know, a simple thing to understand procedure is, you are on the third floor, right? You say, no, everything happened with the takdir of Allah Ta'ala. Namaz time here, let me just jump from the third floor. And you killed yourself, you died, right? Now you'll be guilty of suicide. You see, because you know Allah Bakhsh takdeer and all that, and forget the procedures. So to follow the procedures, such an important thing. You feel, no procedure, Allah Bakhsh will. And I'm responding to the call of Allah Ta'ala. From the third floor, 50th floor, I'll just jump straight to get to the masjid. I can read 10 more siparas. But you'll get caught in for suicide. Why? Simple thing as not following procedure. This was the procedure. Allah Ta'ala has created that procedure, you follow the procedure. You don't act against the procedure, against the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spoke some things about Mashwara today, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Darul Diyoban, in the time of Maulana Gangohi rahmatullahi, now maybe it was around 1900, you know, 1900 something, or maybe end of the 1800. And there was some trouble that was going on in the madrasa. Madrasa was coming like a halt, it was like a strike coming up. Because the madrasa has got that type of population and that type of people that are attending the madrasa, it's so popular, so you get some problems also. You get some nitty-gritty, some problems you get. So Hazrat Mawlana Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was visiting the madrasa and he saw that there was some problem at the madrasa. So he wrote a letter secretly to Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, making him aware of the halat on the ground. That this is what's happening in the madrasa. It's possible that the madrasa closes down. And the reason for this whole ikhtilaf is, this whole problem is, that the townspeople want a certain person to be included into the mashwara, into the shura. And Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali objected that this person is not suitable to be a member of the shura. He is not qualified and he doesn't have that capacity to be in the shura. Someone has the capacity, someone doesn't have the capacity. In order to have the capacity, you have to be that level of understanding, that level of knowledge. Any person and every person cannot be a member of the shura. So you don't say now that you're racist, that you didn't appoint so and so person, because when you appoint it to a position, it's not because, not on the basis of color. I need five people representing the white, five people representing brown, five the black. No, that's not on, based on color. It's based on qualification, competence. Is the man competent enough? Does he have the type of qualification? Does he have the competence? Is he suitable? Then can he? Does he have the sight and vision? So you look at these things before you appoint a person as a member of the shura. So Mora felt that this person doesn't have that sight at all, and therefore he doesn't qualify to be a member of the shura. So anyway, the townspeople were very vociferous, very, very bold about it. No, that we need our man. And now it's a point where the madrasa could just close down. So Mawag Tahmir Sahib Rahmatullah wrote a letter secretly to Mawag Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah. What's wrong in including one person of the town into the madrasa, mashwara? Because at the end of the day, it will be the majority that will count. You know, it will be the majority that will count. I stop at that point there, remember. It will be the majority that will count. And in the meanwhile, this whole fitna will be diffused because they want their man to be here. Here, majority is majority, we are the majority, this is just one man. So 20 persons are on one end, this person is just one. So the majority will count, the fitna will be just diffused. Al-Mu'a Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi wrote the reply. And he says, you see, the madrasa is not the goal, the buildings are not the goal and objective, the population of the madrasa is not the goal, the only goal is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. If we went for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in the process the madrasa closed, we have acquired the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And if we went for the population, that we need this type of population in the madrasa, we need this type of buildings in the madrasa, we need this type of popularity in the madrasa, then Allah Ta'ala can well tell us on the day of Qiyamah that you wanted the population, you've got it. You wanted this type of building, you've got it. You wanted this type of finishes in the madrasa, you've got it. So what do you want from me? If we went purely for His pleasure, and in the process some problem happened, so it's not a problem for us. On the basis of this type of ikhlas, this type of madrasas run. It's not on the basis of wealth. It's on the basis of that ikhlas, that deep down sincerity that is coming from within the heart. That they are looking at the sunnah. What did Rasulullah would say? What did he want? If we appoint the wrong person just to diffuse a problem here, then we can be accountable in the court of Allah Ta'ala that why did you appoint an unsuitable person as a member of the shura? But if we went for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala won't hold us accountable that why was the madrasa closed. But on that side, we'll definitely be accountable. Okay, why was the person that was unsuitable, why was he appointed? So when you talk of this verse here, that if you follow the majority, then they will mislead you. Now people misconstrue, see. You get two types of majority. One majority is the public, general public. In tuti akthar man fil ardi yudilluka an sabila. General public, if you follow them, you'll go off. If you, general public in Spingo Beach anywhere, you go and ask them, television, no television, everybody will say, shaitan box. Everybody say, shaitan box, right? You want shaitan box or not? Especially if it was, at a peak soccer time, international soccer league, and it's coming to the final, the last match. So you ask, just ask. So majority, and a decision is not taken on the count of hands. But you just count hands, and then you say, no, the majority says this, let's go with that. Majority will go to what's wrong. So when you're talking about the general public, then in the general public, majority are people that are bent towards wrong. But if it is a class of clean people, pure people, dini conscious people, people that are concerned about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then in the words of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he says that this can be used as a reason for preference. Understand? It's all conscious, muttaqi, alim. They've got the deep understanding of deen. The very deep understanding of deen. They've got the spirit of deen. They've got the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at heart. And it's that majority that is ruling. Now, even in fiqh you'll find, even in fiqh, you know, Islamic jurisprudence and masail, many a times in the kitab you'll say that the jamhur says this. And they use that as a reason for preference. What? Majority of the ulama kiram say this. And therefore we go with this view. So if the majority was wrong, then they would have said that the majority said this. They would have said, no, this is the preferred view. We feel that this view is the most weightiest, therefore we would go with this view. And the other view, we leave it aside. See? So now, how important it is, you know, I came across that point, that if you are half, you rather say you half. Whether in any profession, whether in deen, whichever you are, but you say you are half, don't pretend to be full. Otherwise you can create confusion. Even in information, dissemination of information. If you just put half a fact, that Luqman Hakim alayhi salam, he advised his son, you know, if someone comes and complains to you that this person has bust my one eye, then you don't take any decision at that point until you didn't hear the other side of the story. Perhaps that person, he must have brushed his two eyes. So now you got the complete story before you, but you got half the information and you went and taken some steps. Obviously you'll create problems for yourself, you'll create confusion for other people. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Nasib.